Meet Temidayo Ogunleke, popularly known as the Betting's Madam, a driven and visionary entrepreneur transforming the betting industry in Nigeria. As CEO of Connors Essence Integrations Limited, Temidayo leads Cornerstone Beddings, a company that specializes in manufacturing luxurious beddings and distributing top-quality mattresses. With a solid educational foundation and certifications from top global institutions like Cornell University and IFC, she blends knowledge with purpose. Temidayo's entrepreneurial journey is anchored in her faith, guiding her mission to equip businesses and individuals with the tools to reach their fullest potential. In just over 5 years, she has trained more than 100 students across the globe, empowering them to grow their businesses beyond average. Temidayo Ogunleke, where faith, business, and passion converge to inspire excellence. Join us as we go through her journey.
My name is Temidayo Ogunleke. Before I founded Cornerstone Beddings, I was working somewhere, and so everything just wasn't working anymore. So I left there, and that was when I had to go for my NYSC. I'd left school 4 years after, then I went for my NYSC. So during the course of doing the NYSC, there's this skill acquisition program that we're encouraged to go ahead for. So I just saw people doing this stuff, and I was like, okay, let me do beddings, right? Before I went for the NYSC program, my friend had already encouraged me to start selling bed sheets. So that was what I was selling because I lost the job. And so when I got back from NYSC, when I was at NYSC, I started to take up the beddings training. So I was just doing beddings production. I was just there to learn how to sew bed sheets. And I must tell you that it was, NYSC is a year, so I was like a year on learning how to sew bed sheets, sew pillowcases. And it was kind of challenging for me, really. My mates, for each classes, my mates will have done their own and moved to like two classes ahead of me. I was still struggling with sewing bed sheets. So that went on and on until finished NYSC and I got back home. So getting back home, the next question is, what's the way forward, right? So I decided to, I just learned a skill. Why not use the skill to work? And where I was even staying, I was squatting with somebody and I was sleeping on the floor. So I just felt it's not convenient with me. I felt most people are going through the same situation in life. I had several episodes of health issues and all of that. So I just made up my mind I was going to do the beddings since I already had the skill of beddings production. So the beautiful part of this whole story is that I started my business with zero naira. I didn't have any money to start any business. As a matter of fact, leaving NYSC, it was my boss that borrowed me 5K to transport myself back to Ibadan. So I didn't have any money with me. But I had my mouth. And then at that time, my mom was always, go for this interview, go for that interview. But because I had told people, please let me make your bed sheet, I can make bed sheets for you and all of that. So time they asked me to deliver bed sheets and the interview time is always clashing. So I decided to choose delivering my bed sheet over going for an interview. And then you know how that community helps you. Either it's a church community or a neighborhood, whatever it is, friends and family, there are also places that you can network and meet people. So in church, I meet people and say, hey, I make bed sheets. I go to children's church when those mommies comes to pick up their children. So in a cluster of two, cluster of three, I just tell them, please, I make bed sheet. Can I bring for you? And so they tell me, bring two, bring one. So what do? I go back home. Then my friend that I was courting with, I begged him, please, can you borrow me 2,000 naira or maybe 2,500? Then that the cost of materials were still, very affordable. And then, so he would borrow me. That money was for my transport fare, not like it was enough to buy the fabric or any other material. So on getting to the market, I looked around, looked for somebody that was, relatable, that could understand my story. I explained to him and,
maybe the cost of what I was buying was 5,000 naira. I was able to pay maybe 1,000 or 1,500. Gave him my address, my phone number, my father's number, everybody that could be like a guarantor for me. I just, you know, dropped their number and told him my address to say, see, I'm not running away with your money, I just want to do business, so just help me. And the man was gracious enough to, you know, help me, give me maybe goods of worth 5,000 naira while I just drop 1,005. So as soon as I go home, sold these materials, I sell and I refund his money. Now, while I started, the truth is that, like I told you, I didn't start with any money. So I didn't have any machine. I didn't have anything. I did not even have needle. But a church member, like I said, a friend, I realized that in our house, she had a sewing machine. She works at UCH. So in our house, she had a sewing machine that she just had. Nobody was using it. So I told my friend, I should approach her. She's very friendly. I'm like, you know, for the first time, I was shy of approaching her. But eventually, I summoned the courage and I spoke to her. She was very excited to, you know, borrow me a machine. Immediately, I carried the machine. So my mom got me a sewing machine when she saw that I wasn't going to be going for any interviews, right? And so now I have sewing machines. I don't have a shop space. So I had to keep looking around for shop spaces around me and all of that. Then I realized that they were too expensive. 150,000 naira and all of that. I don't even have any money for anything. Where do I get 150 from? And I wasn't going to borrow. So while I was still, you know, moving around, then I remember that was the brother that has a shop. He's also a brother in our church. You see what community does for, you know, people. So I went to him. I told him about the fact that I needed a shop space. I need to put my machines and all of that. Then he was like, shop space in his area are expensive. That why don't I approach pastor? That it is a small room, like a space in the church that is behind children's church. And the church place is just empty, vacant. If the church could, you know, lease that place to me and all that. I'm like, let me go and meet him. So immediately I called pastor. Please, are you around? He said, yes, I went to meet him. For meeting him, I explained that I needed that space and he just granted it. So this particular space has no window, nothing. And I left NYSC June 10, 2016. In between, all the story that I'm telling you was in between 10 days, just between 10 and no, yeah, January 10 to January 30th, because on the 30th, I started Cornerstone Beddings. So in between those 20 days was when I was looking for shop and all of those things, right? When I got the space, I didn't have money to fix the windows. I didn't have money for anything. I already told you that I didn't start with any money at all. So while I was there, what I did was to remove all the curtains in where I was staying before, the ones I had previously before NYSC. I removed all the curtains. I took them to that shop space. And don't forget that this time around is June. So rain falls very well. So by the time rain fell, the first time rain fell, every place was soaked with people's fabric. Everything was soaked. So it was not a nice experience. As a matter of fact, the person I was dating then had to say, you know what? I'm not doing it again. You should start and all of that. So we ended that relationship. But I continued with my business. And you know one thing about business, if you are diligent with it, you keep going at it, you can always build a business over time. So I kept at it. Later, somebody came to say, hey, I have a sister at home and she just doing nothing. Can she come and learn? I said, yes, she come. Then don't forget I mentioned mommy Bobo that she borrowed me a machine. That was the first machine I borrowed. When she saw that the business was really like, I was into it, I was doing it, she has started bringing me customers. Later, she herself started selling my products. And then you just imagine that people will bring Jeep, people bring their cars, come and buy my bed sheet. And I'm looking at myself, what am I selling, right? Before you know it, we had a secretary. All of this before December 2017, sorry. I started to December 2017. I was there doing everything, you know. I was just, before you know it, I'd already done the windows, done the floor, all doing this. And so while I was doing it, I also realized that sourcing material from Lagos was way easier and cheaper compared to sourcing material from my Ibadan, right? Then I realized that most of my customers were from Lagos. So what I do is I deliver bedsheets to Lagos. Sometimes I come down myself to give people their orders. I've come from Ibadan to go and deliver in Agbara, Badagry side before. And so I do a lot like that. So I decided to say, you know what? Let me find a place in Lagos. But then it wasn't, you know, doable. I had no money to rent a shop, get a space and all of that. So That was how I started Cornerstone Beddings, basically. Every business in Nigeria, or let me say every business outside Nigeria, in Nigeria, has, you know, their own challenges. But so I'm just going to say very few. While I continued in my business, at a time, I was in Ibadan before. So I was in Lagos one evening, I think it was January 5, 2018. I received a call that the church was leaving that particular space, so I needed to pack my things. They called me 5 p.m. I needed to pack my things before 8 a.m. So I called somebody, told the person to go to my store, move those things out ASAP. Before that evening. So we left that same evening. I had to move my things back to my friend's place where I was squatting. So the question is, where am I moving to? So I decided to say, since I wanted to come to Lagos, let me find a space in Lagos. So I had to stay with my grandma. Staying my grandma is a whole lot of episode on its own. It was not a nice thing. It was not a nice experience for me. But then it's still part of my story. I experienced several domestic abuse, verbal abuse, violence, all manner of things. Staying in a place because, you know, other people too are staying there. Now, aside that, I got to a time that somebody there in my grandma's house had to fling my things out of. You know how they send you out, I don't know how to put it. From upstairs, they were flinging my bag, flinging my stuff, flinging everything out of the house because I didn't allow the person to steal my property, right? That is after they have stolen. All right, so that day when they started throwing out my bags, throwing out my machine, throwing out everything, stoning me and all that, I told myself, I'm not going to sleep in this house again. So I was homeless in Lagos for like almost 2 months. I started sleeping on that stairs. I will call somebody's office. Please, can I sleep in your office? They will say no. Sometimes I'll go and sleep with gatesmen. Gatesman will sleep by this side. I will sleep by this side. Sometimes I will sleep on that stairs. Sometimes I will just look for a church. There's a particular company in Obahacrown. I will never forget that guy in my life. The guy will call me and say, are you coming? I will say yes. The guy is a security guard, so he will make me sleep on a carton. I will sleep behind, he will sleep in front. Even by the time I was almost even raped during, because I was looking for house and all of those things. I had a few friends that were also, you know, just sleep on people's couch. Some people say, okay, come and sleep in my office, I'll sleep on their couch. Other friends will say, hey, my room is, you know, different thing. Not sleeping anywhere, that I saw for almost 2 months, until somebody that I don't know, Mr. Anthony, he now called somebody for me to help me. I'm getting to those people's houses too. The house is a 2-bedroom flat. Their grandma, different people. The house was, you know how people manage in Lagos now. So I had to tell the mom that, please, if it's just on the floor, it's okay for me. So I had to sleep on their floor for like maybe a month as well before I was able to get my own apartment. So when I got my apartment, I didn't have a space for shop. So when I threw out my things, I had to give out so many things. And so for those 2 months, I only had a school bag. In that school bag, I had 2 gowns, disposable pants, my toothbrush. I was living per day. There's no place for rest. So my machine that I had, because I returned Mommy Bobo's machine, the machine that my mom gave me, I had to put it in somebody's shop. I was now squatting, like, in the squatting with the owner of the shop. So we were three in that shop, the owner and two other, someone like myself that was borrowing the shop. So that was, I was there for like a year. But during that particular time, you know, while I was going up and down, still doing business, I had been trying, when I was still at my grandma's house, I was been trying that. People are exporting. I can export. What's going on? So I saw a lady that trying to send in her goods to Germany. I said, this person doesn't have 2 heads. I don't have 2 heads. If she can do it, I can do it. You know, I was out doing my best to see how these things can work. So currently, one of the many challenges that we are experiencing is logistics. With the present increase in the cost of petroleum in the country, things that we should know, if we hire a particular van to do a delivery for you, something that should cost 25k, not costing us 75,000. We can't just easily increase price of product like that. So that's like a huge challenge for me at the moment. And not just that, the silent and current increase in the cost of raw materials. You just buy a particular product today, 360,000 naira. The next 2 weeks they are buying, they are telling you it's 400,000, 460. And you are imagining how 100K jumped on it in the space of 2 weeks without any notice or anything. But then, this is Nigeria. I think we'll keep swimming in the tides until it gets better. I'm so grateful to God for how far I've come in the business. Along the line, I had to start taking trainings to build my business. So Right now, I have an IFC World Bank certification. I have certification with Cornell University in New York. I've been able to sell to Wema Bank. I've been able to sell to MDS Logistics. I export to Ghana almost on a weekly basis. I am really grateful that I didn't give up. I've exported to Spain, Estonia, Canada, US. I have customers there that want my goods. And we are trying to get our FDA and done so that we can, you know, export like very well to the US. And then we are also trying to get other certifications so that we can export to other countries. It has been God all the way, and I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to Cornerstone Bedding staff, those that have left, those that are there currently. I'm thankful to them and thankful to God, because they were even the ones that sometimes my staff are the ones that will tell me, "Madam, we are not closing down. Madam, we are going to do this." There are times that I shut down business and say, "I'm not doing it again." But my staff will come and say, "Yeah, we are doing it in Jesus' name." You know, they will pray. Sometimes they will start looking for customers themselves. I'm really grateful to God for bringing those kind of people into my life. Else, I would have shut down since. But it's been amazing. It's been wholesome. I've met lovely people at conferences. Because of this business, I've traveled out of the country. Where would I have gone if not for my business? And I'm really, really grateful to God. Thank you.
All right. So, talking to Cornerstone Bedding, speaking with Temi Dyer, she's the founder and the CEO of Cornerstone Bedding. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cornerstone Bedding, briefly, tell us what your business is about.
Okay, so at Cornerstone Beddings, we produce, we provide, we custom make and mass produce eco-friendly, high-quality, durable sleep and bedding solutions such as pillows, duvets, bed sheets, room sprays, and the list continues.
Okay. And also, it's good to clarify that the manufacture in Nigeria.
Yes, you do manufacture in Nigeria.
Where is your factory?
I located at Ikeja, Lagos.
Ikeja. Okay. I mean, why manufacturing? Why do you go by the word manufacturing?
Okay, so I went to learn how to produce it, how to produce beddings. Okay. So that was how I started the business.
All right. Can we talk about what your annual turnover is, roughly, estimate?
Okay. So for when we started, it was a little bit, you know, shifting one way or the other. But we've been able to do 15 million, 20 million, 21, 22, and...
Million dollars?
Million naira.
Okay. As of today?
As of today, maybe we've done over 40 million this year.
Okay. This year, and this year is not over yet.
Yes, we have a yearly target.
Okay, so it is safe to say that by the end of this year, we probably would have done like 60.
We hope so.
Okay, the target is?
Okay, so we aim high, but then if you fall among the moon, it fall to the moon or something.
So they
something.
Say you dream above the sky or something.
Oh, okay, so if you fall in between the skies, yeah. Something really, be, yeah, so.
Among the stars.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we intend to do, yes.
Okay, all right. So, but in the past years, have you been able to meet your annual target in terms of revenue?
In the past years, we've been able to. But then, seeing that we were able to do that, we decided to increase it.
Okay, so once you meet your target,
of course, you increase the target.
What the target is per year. I want to ask you, this business, is it high margin business or low margin business?
I'm going to say it's a low margin business. This is because our primary target audience are bedding vendors.
Okay.
Those that resell it.
Okay.
Maybe organizations.
Okay.
Like hotels, hospitals, souvenirs. Okay. Those are our target audience.
So you said you do B2B, you don't do direct to consumer.
No, we do B2B, we do B2C, we also do customized. On demand.
On demand.
Yeah. So.
Okay. But bulk of your sales come from B2B.
B2B, yes.
Okay. All right. What? So and that B2B is low margin.
Yes, because they buy in bulk. Okay. But the thing is, they buy over and over.
Okay.
So if somebody can order for 70 duvets now, in the next 2 weeks, the person is ordering for another 100.
Okay. What is your major cost line item? Is it the cost of selling or the cost of the goods itself?
The cost of production.
Of production. And what is the major thing that is affecting that cost-wise?
Fabric now. The whole economy, the dollar thing is affecting us. People that import fabrics, import it, and then the cost of cost of fabric keeps increasing. Cost of fiber, our raw materials, they keep increasing.
In terms of the dollar value.
Yes.
Dollar exchange rate.
Yes.
So in other words, it's the exchange rate that is affecting your costs.
Yes.
That of course, now eating into your bottom line. Have you looked at how you can address that?
Yes, that is why I mentioned earlier that we are looking to see if we can bring in, import the fabrics directly to ourselves. So by doing that, the cost of bringing those fabrics, you know, is cheaper compared to when you are buying from those that bring them in.
So currently you buy
from... I buy from the market.
So now if you're able to buy directly from manufacturer...
Yes.
You would directly bear the FX cost. Mm-hmm.
So we also be able to sell to other people.
Their own margin would have been...
Yeah, of course. Exactly.
That's true. But won't that require you to buy bulk?
Yes, we'll definitely be buying bulk. So if you can't buy like a whole container at a time, we can always share. You can buy 1/4 of a container, we can buy half or maybe the full, but it depends on the cash at hand that you're using for procurement.
Okay. All right. Now let's talk about the cash at hand. Your working capital. How is your working capital doing?
It's fine. We produce for people and then we send to them.
Okay. Do you keep inventory?
Yes, we do.
How much inventory do you keep?
Okay, so we keep for our assets, we keep for what's it called, the liabilities, the day-to-day expenses. Okay. And of course, we keep for our, what's it called, our invoice. Yeah, before you can buy something from us, you're definitely going to get an invoice.
Okay.
So you pay through the invoice.
Okay. The actual goods, the beddings and the pillows and the duvets and all of that, how much of it already manufactured and you haven't sold?
Okay, so right now, if you enter my store, or let me say, if you enter our store, any product you see there is already sold.
Okay, so every product you have, they're all sold.
You order, we do on order. So you place your order, we produce for you.
Okay,
send
so them. With that allows you to put all of your working capital into work. So
yes.
You don't have anything tied down in product. Mm-mm. But don't you think when you now go and import raw materials directly, of course, you have to import in bulk. You have some of your money tied down in raw material.
Yes. So by doing that, we are going to expand our target audience.
Okay.
We'll not just be selling products already made. We're selling them raw as we bring them.
Okay.
Then we'll also expand beyond our local space.
So that you can put your working capital into better. Mm-hmm. You're actually quite smart because you don't want any money being tied down.
Of course.
Selling products. So that's really good. It seems like you're doing really, really well.
Thank you.
What is your ultimate target in terms of turnover? A billion?
Okay, so as I'm sitting down right now, the billion is not for the year. So because I personally, I like that when you want to build a business, it's better that you grow slowly so that you don't fall flat.
All right, that's good.
So this year now, our target is to hit 80 million.
Okay.
And we trust that God will help us get there. So if
I underestimated your target.
No, it's fine.
Why didn't you correct me?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay, 80 million. We stay with 80 million. Okay.
For this year.
Okay, for this year.
So for next year, if we can do 80 this year, then we should be able to do 160 next year.
Or 200 less year.
Okay. That's like less than 100% increase anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll do 160 next year. So if we're able to do 160 next year, we'll shoot it the other year. We can say, okay, What can we do more? So if by next year we're able to bring in a container, then we cannot be looking at 160 million anymore.
Okay.
Be looking at, say, 400 million because we'll have gotten a larger factory, brought in larger machines.
Okay.
Machine that we have right now can run 40 duvets in a day.
Okay.
But if we bring a larger machine, that one should be able to do 100, 150.
Okay.
By so doing, we're already exporting to the US. We're exporting to maybe three or more African countries.
That's true.
So that will also increase our production capacity and increase our distribution channels. Because right now we have just about 4 or 5 distribution points around Lagos, but to be able to penetrate other markets in Nigeria outside Nigeria. So doing that will increase our revenue.
Okay. So the market is big enough?
Yes, the market is big.
It's just the capacity that is constrained.
Yes, but like I said, I like to grow steadily. Okay, this place there's a loophole, fix it. So by the time we now give ourselves a target of 1 billion naira, we'll do it consistently without falling because we have built enough channels
to
maintain it.
That's really good. You want a steady growth, a steady and consistent growth. That's really good. I mean, what brought about the passion for bedding and duvets?
Passion.
Digging, right?
No, it's fine. A passion for the business.
Yes. I mean, why this specific line? I mean, product line.
Okay, I can't tell you that this is the primary reason why I started Beddings, really. Okay. But I like I mentioned my story earlier. I didn't have a space to sleep. I didn't have money in my hand. I needed to be able to feed and fend for myself was the primary reason why I started business. So, but along the line, the reason changed because there are so many lives attached to it right now.
The reason changed to you making money, correct?
It's not about me making money. I have staff. You can't just wake up today and decide to tell them you don't exist again. There's some people that their business is solely dependent on Cornerstone Bedding.
That's true.
Because we supply them like almost on a weekly basis. It's not like if you don't exist today again, they would go elsewhere. But there's some people that they know that, she will surely. That's some. Last year, somebody gave me like the best business something that I was doing for a business because I kept coming back. So I encouraged her to also do her business. And she's in my line of business, but she will not do the same thing. I know of two or three persons that went to resign to start Bedding's business. Yeah. It's not like they're doing my business because, you know, Bedding's business is large. We have pillow, we have different things. I'm primarily into Bedding's manufacturing. Some people are into pillow, but by the grace of God, for the end of this year, we start doing pillow. So in a week, we can produce 2,000 pillows for exportation. So there's some people that their lives are attached to just that kind of thing. I'll not tell them that I'm not working again. It doesn't, aside even my personal it's life and my good. Family and all of those things. So the vision for the business now, the passion for it goes beyond me. Like I mentioned, there are days I don't want to work, there are days I want to shut down. But customers are the ones that will say, hello, goods. My staff will say, ma, this business must work. So it has really, really gone beyond.
That's exciting. That's really, really encouraging.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to talk about the market.
Okay.
You talk about export. Where is the major export market?
Okay, for now, we export to Ghana.
Okay.
But we are looking to Benin Republic and Togo, but language has been an issue.
I see.
But I'm going to break that. I'm going to get there.
You're going to.
I'm also language. Looking at Cameroon. Yeah. Everything is doable.
I believe you. I believe you. I mean, your story is quite exciting.
Thank you.
I think I must say that even me, I've been schooled. Seriously.
With
regards to this patient, so it's also
thank
good
you.
to know that you have the mindset of growth and
thank
not
you.
Just a sudden growth, no,
thank you,
consistent growth. So,
thank you.
And I believe many of our viewers are inspired by your story. And hopefully, some of them will become your client.
Yes, so our website cornerstonebeddings.com, just type it like that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there any specific thing you want to ask me?
At the moment, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.